This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This afternoon, the title of the lecture will be "Which of the favors of your Lord will you deny?" The lecture will be around 1 hour, including Q&A. So, one important rule is please turn off your cell phone or keep it on a silent mode if you need to talk. A quick bio of the Sheikh Abdul Bari. He's born in Vietnam and immigrated with his family to the U.S. at a very young age. Soon after graduating from high school, he left to Medina to study Islam at the Islamic University of Medina. After graduating from the Islamic University of Medina, Sheikh Abdul Bari returned to Vietnam and Cambodia and became a teacher and director of the Umm al-Qura charity organization in Vietnam. Sheikh Abdul Bari is currently the Imam of Masjid Jami' al-Muslimin in Seattle. He also holds the positions of President of the Cham Refugee Community and of the Islamic Center in Washington. And I would like to thank all the organizers for this lecture this afternoon. And without any further ado, I would like to ask the Sheikh to begin this talk. Thank you.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. The blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us are abundance. And just by reflecting upon the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises our iman and gives us, and makes us thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how can we be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What should we do? Many of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were promised paradise. And they were people who were walking on the face of this earth. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already mentioned that they will enter paradise. Now if we were in that situation, and most people, by the way, they think just, you know, there are 10 who were promised paradise. No, there are many who were promised paradise. In fact, over 1,400 who took the pledge under the tree. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of those who took the pledge under the Saburah tree will ever be touched by the hellfire. Which means there are the people who are promised paradise, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when they received these glad tidings, the promise of paradise, like the people of Badr, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to do whatever you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the people of Badr and said, do as you will, for indeed He has already forgiven all your past and future sins. So these were great blessings. And if we were put in that situation, some of us, what do you think we would do? Maybe we would say, party time, guys. Like, you know. But the companions were even more strong in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they were thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increasing in your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to pray. He used to pray until his feet were swollen. And Aisha radiallahu anha, feeling compassionate towards her husband, she said, Allah has already forgiven your past and future sins. Why are you standing up, you know, like this? To the point where his feet were swollen. So what did he say? He said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدٍ شَكُورًا. Should I not be a thankful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which means that when you're thankful to Allah for anything that you have, you use those blessings in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what's the greatest blessing? The greatest blessing is the blessing of Islam, the blessing of guidance. And that's why from the very, very beginning, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first verses, the first few verses in Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Ladhi Khalaq, in Surah Al-Alaq, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received that revelation. But at that moment, at that time, he did not know until he went to see Waraqa ibn Nawfal. And after that revelation, after hearing the good news from Waraqa ibn Nawfal, he of course wanted to change the situation, because as anyone with a good heart, with a pure heart, when they see an evil, they want to change it. But how can he change it as a person? And then when he received the verses from the cave of Hira, and the Waraqa told him that this was inspiration, this revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as this was the same inspiration that was sent to Moses before, it made him happy, because this is what he wanted. He wanted to change people for the better and contribute to the society. But how was he going to do it? And so realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen him now, has given him revelation, he's yearning to receive further instructions. Yearning to see further revelation. But there's a time, which the scholars of Sirah, they say, call it the cessation of revelation. There were days and weeks, some of the scholars, even up to 6 months, some of the scholars mentioned that this was a time of cessation and revelation, in which no revelation was revealed, and people were making fun of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were making fun of him. They said, has your shaitan abandoned you? A woman came by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Has your shaitan abandoned you, O Muhammad? And it was a very difficult time for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People were making fun of him. And maybe some people might think that, hey, you know, maybe all of that really didn't happen, right? You might think, some people, you know, to a point, if that occurs, maybe no, it was just psychological. But there was something that was pointing to the fact that it wasn't psychological. It did happen. It wasn't something that he just saw. Remember, he's in the cave. And you know, some of the Orientalists, of course, they say this and that, he's seeing things and so forth. No, but there's something that he saw, that's something that happened. When the revelation was revealed, he was squeezed very hard. To the point where he said, حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِي الْجَهَدِ, until I almost lost my breath. Until he almost died, in other words. And then he released him. And he did this again. And he said, اقرأ. Recite. And then of course the revelation came. But he squeezed him so hard that the pain from it remained. So you might think it's psychological, but you feel touch yourself. And hey, you know that it did happen. There's physical evidence that it actually did happen. And so it was a difficult time for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because people were making fun of him. And so the story got out in Mecca. And then or after a period of difficulties, of waiting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the surahs, the verses, one after the other. Amongst them, Ya Ayyuhal Mudathir, Ya Ayyuhal Muzammir. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions, reveals surah, Wadduha, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ba'na'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wadduha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, by the forenoon. Wallayli idha saja, and by the night when it covers the world in peace. And by the night when it covers. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَالَ مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَالَ. Remember they were saying that has your shaitan abandoned you? Maybe Allah has abandoned you. No. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَالَ. Your Lord has neither abandoned you nor does He dislike you. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling His Prophet, indeed the hereafter is better than this life. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Surely we will give you that which will please you. In other words, we will, what he was looking for, all the things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him that which will please him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him of the past, of who he was before. أَلَمْ يَجِدَكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Did he not find you an orphan and then sheltered you? وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And did he not find you astray? Here, ضال here, it doesn't mean he's off the path of Islam or anything like that. No, it means that the Sharia and the revelation and so forth didn't come to him yet. He was looking to do something, to find something, to change the people, to find that which will help the people. He believed in Allah. He never committed any shirk or anything like that. Never did anything that was inappropriate. And that's why the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is considered that which was before revelation and after revelation. Because he was protected from a very young age onward. And thus, when Allah says, we didn't find you astray and guided you, we guided you, we gave you the instructions and so forth and the revelation that came afterwards, when you did not have all of this before. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. Did we not find destitute? Didn't we not find you destitute? And we enriched you. When most people don't realize that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in a time when he, in his young days, he lived in poverty. He lived in poverty. He lived with his uncle, Abu Talib. And Abu Talib wasn't rich. He was very poor. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of his kindness, because of his character, his good character, he contributed and he helped out in the finances, even in the house. And that's why he was, at that age, when he was very young, he said, there's not been a single prophet, except that he used to be a shepherd. And so the companion said, even you, O Messenger of Allah. And then he said, yes, even me. I used to take care of a flock that belonged to one of the aristocrats of Mecca. And so he used to be a shepherd also. I mean, being a shepherd isn't like a job that's praiseworthy or anything like that. This is something that you take because, you know, it shows the humbleness and humility, you know, of that job. So he was destitute. He was very, very poor. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding him that he used to be poor, and used to be an orphan. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enriched you. And he gave you. When he married Khadija radiallahu anha, she was one of the richest people of Mecca. And it gave him the opportunity also to use those resources for the da'wah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Remember, you're an orphan. But as for the orphan, do not repel them or be harsh towards them. As for the orphan, do not be harsh towards them. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And as for those who come begging or asking, chide them not. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And as for the blessing of your Lord, proclaim it. As for the blessing of your Lord, proclaim it. What is the greatest blessing? The greatest blessing is Islam. And if you're appreciative of that blessing, then you also call people to Islam also. You live as a Muslim, as an example, and you want to share that. As for the blessings of Allah, the greatest blessing we have is Islam. And so you have to apply it and use it in your daily life. If you want to die as a Muslim, you have to live as a Muslim. And so we have to live as Muslims, and we have to call people also to this deen. And so the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are abundance. You can count them, and you will not be able to enumerate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we also, one of the things that we can do, when we reflect upon the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why Allah subhanahu reminds us, like in Surah Al-Rahman, فَبِأَيِّ آلَىٰ إِرَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبًا. And which of the blessings of Allah subhanahu do you deny? Allah mentions the blessings over and over and over again, different blessings. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, of which of these blessings do you deny? I mean, what, because of these great blessings, you should remember to be thankful to Allah and be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it's one way to avoid and to stay away from sins is to remember the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you remember, when you think about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you think of how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is towards us. And so you think to yourself, how can you be disobedient to the one who's so kind to you? And so if you are confronted with sins, this is one way to abstain or stay, keep yourself strong and abstain from sins. One way is to think about the great blessings of Allah. And we'll give some examples, inshallah. But I'm going to give you a story first. Okay. About 3 years ago, this is it was in the New York Times. A man finds out that his wife needs a new liver. Or not liver, kidney. It's a kidney, right? You have two. Kidney. A new kidney. And so, his wife is sick. And she needs a kidney transplant. And it so happens that his kidney, his blood type, whatever, all of that matches. And so this is his wife. He couldn't find a donor. He said, I will donate my kidney. I will donate my kidney. Of course, you can have one and still survive. Right? And so he said, I'll donate my kidney. And you're thinking, mashallah, what a love story, right? Like he's donated his own kidney. This, of course, they're not Muslims, okay? In New York. So he said, I'll donate my kidney. And so the operation happens, and mashallah, she, part of him is in her. What a love story, right? She's alive, of course, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then by the kidney that he just gave to his wife. Now, if you look at this couple, how much more thankful do you think the wife should be? Maybe the wife didn't make dinner or anything like that before. She should be doing all the time now, right? I mean, she's alive because of him. Yeah, part of him, he sacrificed his own kidney for her. She should be so obedient to him now. So much better towards him. 1 year later, he finds out that she cheated on him. And of course he divorces her. And then he says, I want my kidney back. He says, I want my kidney back. And of course she can't give him the kidney back, right? She can't give his his kidney back. So, hey, you're in America. Everyone sues everybody, right? So he sues her. For the kidney. And you know what? He brought her to court and he won. I think he won it was either 1.6 or 1.4 million. He won. But the point of the story is that because of that kidney, right, she should have been so much thankful, so much more obedient, so much more kind to her husband. But when we think about ourselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us everything. Given us our eyes, our ears. Everything that we have from head to toe and everything that we have around us is by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a blessing, and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are endlessly given to us. And we take many things for granted. We don't realize how great some of these blessings are. We don't take advantage of. But if we reflect upon those blessings, then it should help us be more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because how can you be disobedient to a Lord that is so merciful towards you, who has given you everything that you have? And that's why when Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, by the way, tonight we will be speaking about the story of Prophet Yusuf in the masjid. And we'll elaborate more on this and also on other points also benefits from it. But when Prophet Yusuf is confronted with sins, the wife of the Aziz tries to seduce him. And what does he say? The first thing he says when she says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ, and he said, and she said, هَيْتَ لَكْ. هَيْتَ لَكْ is, it means, you know, come over here, come on. Or in other words, you know, maybe in modern terminology amongst the youth, maybe, let's get it on. Right? You know, so she's ready. Or you know, in the other qira'ah, هُيِّئْتُ لَكْ, I have prepared myself, adorned myself for you. She's prepared, ready, for, and she's the one that's asking. She's asking to do this fahisha, this sin, committing zina. And so what does he say? He says, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. The first thing you do is you seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're confronted with sins, the first thing you have to realize is no one can help you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you remember the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. And then you remember the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. Surely he... Some of the scholars said this is, he's speaking about his master. No. The stronger opinion is إِنَّهُ. Indeed, he, Allah. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made my stay comfortable, has provided all this for me. In other words, He has given me so much blessings. So when you think about the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times in which you're confronted with sins, or you're thinking about disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about the great blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. Think about everything that you have. Think about the health, the wealth, and everything that you have, so that you will realize, hey, how can I be disobedient to a Lord who has been so kind to me, who has given me so much, who has provided for me, so merciful towards me? I've been disobedient before, but He's still giving me all of these blessings. And so by thinking of the great blessings of Allah, it should help us to abstain from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Surely, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. You think about the consequences of the sins. You don't want to trade a little bit of pleasure, you know, just a temporary pleasure for eternal happiness. For eternal happiness. And so, think about those things. Think about the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us over and over again of the abundance of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. And one of the great blessings that sometimes we don't even reflect is there are two blessings that we tend to not realize the greatness of it. And that's, and those two blessings are mentioned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in hadith in Sahih Bukhari, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ni'matan maghbunan fihima kathirun minan nas. Two types of blessings in which most of the people are maghboon. What is maghboon? Maghboon is when you don't know the value of something and you squander it. Or if somebody cheats you to the point, like say for example, you have, let's say a child has, he has inherited a, let's say a BMW from his father and his mother. Let's say they're not there anymore. And so the uncle comes and says to the child, says, hey nephew, you know that, of course, in Islam, it's not permissible. I'm just trying to give you an example. And he goes, hey, my nephew, I got two bags of ice cream. If you give me the keys to that car, I'll give you both bags. Like, he's 4 years old, okay? He doesn't know the value of that car. And so he says, really? You mean you're going to give me both bags? Yeah, go take the keys. He doesn't care less. He doesn't realize if he sells that car, he could buy all the ice cream in town. So he's maboon because he doesn't know the true value of what he has just gotten. He just got cheated. For us, we get cheated all the time. We cheat ourselves, actually. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونَ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Two blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us, that we cheat ourselves. We don't know the true value. We squander it. We waste it. As-sihhatu wal-farah. Health and free time. The time that we have. A lot of times, especially with the health that we have, we don't realize that our bodies, mashallah, like everything is running so perfectly. All of these little things that are working. And if there's anything, just a small temperature change in our bodies, immediately we feel sick. But everything is flow with our blood flow and our body temperature. It's so perfect. It's amazing. And this is a great blessing from Allah, that when you're healthy, we don't realize it. And that's why the Arabs, they say, "Asiha tajun ala ruus, asiha tajun ala ruus ala siha, la yarahu illa marḍa." He said, "Health is a crown on the heads of those who are healthy. No one sees this crown except the sick. So only the sick people, they see it." So when the sick people are looking at us right now, we have a crown. And they would give anything for just to be healthy. Just to feel normal. Just to feel normal. But they can't. And so that's why we don't realize this great blessing. We don't realize the blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. You know, I'm pretty sure all of us, we've eaten ice cream, right? And you get this cold rush. What do they call that? Brain freeze, right? You get this brain freeze. And it hurts a lot, right? Imagine if that continued on and on and on. You know, the reason why you're able to handle it, because you know it's going to end. In a few seconds, it's going to be over. But just that small change in temperature, and you will not be able to function. You'll be in such great pain. That's just a small change in temperature because it's changing a small, the blood flow that's going up their head has just cooled it down just a little bit. A few seconds only. And that's why we should be thankful. How should we be thankful to Allah for something like that? Well, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us anything, we should use those blessings to be thankful. We use those blessings in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we should be thankful. So if Allah gives us wealth, if we want to be thankful for the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, then we use that wealth in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if He's given us health, that means we are able to stand up and worship Allah and fast and go to the masjid. And we have health, then we use that health that we have in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we show that we're thankful to Allah. And that's why the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Aisha said, why are you standing up until your feet are swollen? He said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدٍ شَكُورًا. Should I not be a thankful servant of Allah? In other words, Allah has given me so much. He has made me a prophet and messenger. He has guided me. He has enriched me. He has took me out of poverty. Should I not be thankful to Allah? And so should I not stand up and pray until my feet are swollen? I'm thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so sometimes if you feel like you're not motivated to worship Allah, then think of all the great blessings that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has given to you. If someone were to give you, if you were sick, and then someone were to take care of you and help you so much, and they go the extra mile to help you, and then when you're cured, what do? You're thankful to that person, right? Whenever they need something, you're always there for them. When they ask you to do something, you're right away. Let's say that person was so helpful to you, helped you so much and gave you so much when you were in times of need, and then they say, "Brother, can you, I can't go to the store right now. Can you go to the store for me?" And it's like 12 o'clock at night time, in the middle of the night. Right? And then you remember, wow, he was so nice to me. At 12, not at 12 o'clock, at 2, 3 o'clock, he was next to me on the bedside, in the hospital, when nobody was there. Right now, I'm going to go. Right? I'll go and I'll buy whatever he needs from the store at this time when he gets, because he can't go. And so, but Allah has given us so much. Allah does not need us, no. But He wants us to show that we're appreciative of that, of the blessings. He wants us to be thankful. And the way to be thankful is to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, this whole life, all the time, no matter what happens to us, a believer is in a state of being thankful and in a state of being patient. Every state is good for the believer. That's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the hadith from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, "Ajaban lil amr al-mu'min." Strange is the affair of the believers. Inna amrahu kulluhu khayr. Indeed, everything that happens to him is good for him. Walaysa dhalika illa lil-mu'min. And nobody has this, nobody is in this state or is given this except for the true believer. إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ السَّرَّى شَكَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ الضَّرَّى صَبَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. If something good happens to him, he's thankful and it's good for him. And if something bad happens to him, calamity befalls upon him, he's patient and it's good for him. So in either case, it's always good for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us. He tests us with poverty and prosperity to see if we're thankful of the blessings of Allah. And you know what the harder test is? The harder test is the test of prosperity. Why? Because in times of poverty and hardship, people are more likely to return to Allah. But in times of ease, people tend to forget Allah. But most people don't realize, even in times of ease, you are being tested by Allah. You are being tested by Allah, but tested with prosperity. So when you see someone standing up in the masjid, and they're asking, "Brothers, there are some brothers who are in need. There are brothers who are in need. Can you guys please, help out? With because there's a calamity that occurred here and there." And so at that moment, there are people, like for example in Syria and other places, they're being tested with poverty and hardship and war. We at that time are also being tested with prosperity. So when you're being asked to help, you're being tested at that moment also. Are you thankful for the blessings that Allah has given to you? And if you are, then you start using those blessings in the obedience of Allah, and you remember your brothers. And that's why one of the characteristics of the believers is that they spend in times of hardship and ease. أَلَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّى وَالضَّرَّى. But wait! Sometimes in Ramadan, it gets overboard, right? Sometimes this masjid needs something. Okay, and then somebody gets up and says, we need to donate for this masjid. We're going to build a masjid in North Vancouver or wherever it is. And they're asking for donations. Okay, you give some.
next week somebody says, you know, there's a famine in Africa or in Somalia, and you know, we need to dig wells and so forth and help them out. Okay, you help us. The next week, another organization comes. We need this and we need that. Next week, a school comes. Next week, another masjid comes. Next week, this particular organization for orphans and wells and poor people and all kinds of things are happening. Who do I give to? When does it stop? Right? You might ask yourself, who do I give to? And when does it stop? I already gave to those two before. Now I got 3 other weeks. I already gave everything. Right? You might say, I already gave to those, the other two organizations that came before you. So who do you give? And what do you give? And you know, how much do you give? The answer is in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And from that which we have provided for them, they spend. You know what that means? It means as long as you still have money in your pocket, as long as you still have money in your bank account, as long as Allah is still providing for you, you spend. You don't stop. Even if it's just a little, you give as much as you're able to. But you spend and you continue to spend in times of ease and in times of hardship. Because it's showing that you're appreciative of the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah only increases it for you. It's a test for you. He's the one that gave it to you to start with. And why does He not give to them directly? The reason is because He's merciful towards you. He wants you to get the reward. He could send it straight towards them and not go through your bank account. And so anytime you're being asked, if that's a test from Allah. But we don't realize it's a test of prosperity. And those tests are great. It's difficult also. When you don't realize you're being tested, then it's hard. It's hard to pass. But we are being tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about the blessings. The abundant blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. From ourselves, our family, the air we breathe, everything around us. We have to use, if we're thankful for the children that we have, then we have to teach our children to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to teach our children to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. We have to teach them to memorize the Qur'an and be good to other people and apply the teachings of Islam in their daily lives and make that effort if we're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our children. If we're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our wealth, then we spend it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we do so, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always increase it for us. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in hadith in Sahih Bukhari, he said, إِذَا سَافَرَ الْعَبْدُ إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ وَسَافَرَ كُتِبَ لَهُ مِثْلَ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُ مُقِيمًا صَحِيحًا. When a servant is sick or he's traveling, Allah writes for him, Allah records for him that which he used to do before he became sick and before he traveled. What does that mean? That means if you used to always pray in the masjid, and you always prayed sunnah prayers, now you're traveling, or now you're sick, and you can't fast, and you can't do the, you're tired, so you can't wake up for the night prayers that you used to get up. You don't have time to, or you don't have the energy to recite the Qur'an like you used to before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His graciousness and mercy, records for you whatever you used to do before you became sick and before you traveled. It's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because, and this is something that's very important, because we don't know. We don't know when we're going to be sick. And sometimes you don't know when the difficulties come where you're not able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like you normally do. But if you are always worshiping Allah, you're always trying your best in times of ease, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of hardship gives you that same reward. And then whatever you do during that time is just extra. Because whatever you did, you already got. So when you become sick, when it comes to good deeds and so forth, you know, you have your, don't worry, you have your social security. Right? You have in the hereafter with the good deeds also, whatever you used to do before. But if you didn't do much before, you're not going to get much neither. So you never know when sometimes, you know, a person goes out and he gets in a car accident, وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ, and he never is able to move again. But if you are always obedient to Allah before going to the masjid, even if you can't go to the masjid now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still give you that same reward. And if you're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of ease, Allah will be there for you in times of hardship. Be thankful of all the great blessings of Allah that He has given to you. In times of ease, He'll be there. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَى يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Know Allah in times of ease, and He will know you in times of hardship. In other words, be thankful to Allah in times of ease. And in times of hardship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there for you. And so the blessings of Allah, وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةُ اللَّهِ لَتُحْصُوهَا. Indeed, if you were to enumerate the blessings of Allah, you would not be able to do so. We sit down and we calculate everything that we have, we would not be able to do so. You just sit and you try one day, and you will endless blessings. And sometimes, you know, some people, especially the non-Muslims, they always ask, when I speak to the non-Muslims, why, when you say that God is so merciful, why is it that there are people who are born, you know, without this and without that? And why is it that people are suffering, even though they're children or they're, you know, they have done nothing wrong? Why is it that they're suffering? Why? Of course, it's by the wisdom of Allah, but it's also to let us realize and wake up and appreciate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When there are people who are born without an eye or they can't see, and you have two eyes, then you say, Alhamdulillah, that Allah has given that to you, because there are people who don't have that. And then when you come out of your house in peace, and you have your family, you're not worried about people trying to shoot you or kill you. Your life is not at stake when you come out of your house, like the people in Syria and so, in Iraq and so forth. Then you say, Alhamdulillah, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Thank Allah for the great blessings of Allah all the time. So some of these things are occurring, it might not occur to us right now, but it's to wake us up also. And then when it happens to us, if we're not thankful, then at that time you raise your hand to Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Hey, if you're quick to respond to Allah, then when you're in need, Allah is there for you. So remember those great, the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in our blessings. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate us from all hardships and trials and tribulations of this life and the hereafter, and give us the best of this life and the hereafter. We should never ask for hardship. You never ask for it. But if it comes, then be firm, be strong. So inshallah, I'll leave the rest of the time that we have if you have any questions. If not, maybe I'll ask the questions now.